Blog Talk Radio.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
There's a list a mile long of all my sins, of everything that I've done wrong. I'm so ashamed. There's nowhere left for me to hide. This is the day I must answer for my life. My fate was in the judge's hands. But then he turns to me and says, I know you, I love you, I gave my life to comprehend what kind of grace would take the place for all my sins. I stand in awe, and now that I have been set free, and the tears fell at the look of death, could it should have been me. My fate was in the nail scarred hand. He stretched them out for me and said, I know you, I love you, I gave my life to save you. Love paid the price for mercy.
Hello, everybody. You are on the Deborah Norwood Show on the Worldwide Radio Network of Finding My Way Christian Radio with Kayla Padgett, CEO. And that was Kayla Padgett that you just heard singing, that beautiful voice of comfort and that mission of peace that she has. We want to congratulate Kayla for a new network that will be opening around the world. She is just expanding and enlarging her borders, sending the message of hope and love to all. And that's what this song was about. The song is about how Christ, Jesus Christ, knows us and loves us and has given his all for us. And today we have a very, very special guest. Our guest is Deborah Joy Hart, and we're going to be talking about how to handle grief with humor and grace. Because we know that grief, sorrow, and loss is something that is pretty much going to happen to us no matter what we want or expect of our lives. It can be sometimes because of our own mistakes, it can be because of the mistakes of others, or sometimes it just simply happens. And we have been told in Ecclesiastes that to everything there is a season. This is found in Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 4. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to gather stones together, and a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. Well, today is a time to speak, and we have got the best guest ever to teach us a little bit about how to handle these seasons of our lives. Deborah, are you on?
I am, and I got to tell you, that Kayla song was, I got to wipe my eyes a little bit. That was beautiful. And
yes,
thank you for having me on. Oh my gosh.
I'm so glad to have you. Kayla sang that song as a young teenager, and she is an amazing young CEO for a large network all over the world, and we're very thankful to Kayla for allowing us to have this radio show so that we can have wonderful people like you, Deborah. Let me tell our listening audience a little bit about you. But before that, I want to thank Ewing Moving and Storage for being sponsors of today's show. So Deborah Joy Hart has got all these letters behind her name, RNBFACTCLLECHP. And she's a certified joyologist. I think that's probably the most fun thing that I can say about her. She has been a nurse for over 30 years and is currently a nurse consultant. And her nursing and teaching experiences in alcohol and drug rehabilitation, hospice, long-term care, emergency and transitional shelter, and many, many other amazing experiences as a nurse. But another wonderful thing about her is that she's also a compassionate clown. So not only is Deborah a medical professional, she's also spiritual director and administrator and part-time minister at Unity Church in Urbana, Illinois. So we have someone here that can speak to us about grief, not only from a clinical perspective, but also a spiritual perspective. Now, Deborah, I've got to ask you this. What are all those letters behind your name?
Well, it's almost like I swallowed a can of alphabet soup. And it's pretty amazing. So I'm a registered nurse, certified humor professional. I am a certified laughter leader in the expert range. And probably you're wondering, what is a CT? A CT is a certified thanatologist, where I had to do quite a bit of study and a long test to get a certificate in the study of death, dying, and bereavement. And that was through the Association of Deaf Education and Counseling. And I've taken a lot of courses through them. I've done a lot of different studies. And even currently, I have on Facebook with another person who's definitely a thanatologist as well as a grief therapist. And we do a little Facebook Live on Fridays at noon at Central Time, Humor, Grief, and Grace. And
wonderful.
Know, so
we're going to recommend our listeners to look on Facebook and on Fridays at noon Central Time. And look up Deborah Doy Hart. And what is the name of the link that they would look at? Humor.
They would go to the webpage of Humor, Grief, and Grace.
Humor, Grief, and Grace.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
At
I'm
least
so
I
glad
think that's
that
the name
this,
of it.
Glad that you have this as a service for us.
Yes.
Because we are really facing some unprecedented times, aren't we, Deborah? I mean, as disciples of Jesus Christ, in my religion, you know, as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we have a scripture, Mosiah 18, 8 through 9, that says that we have made a covenant with God to mourn with those who mourn. But this
yes.
may include becoming more informed about things like mental illness, about depression, and what it really means to help someone who's mourning. So I am so grateful that you are on to teach us some of these principles on how to help one another without judgment. And I understand you had a TEDx talk, and you kind of
yes.
talk about the three P's to help people through grief. Could you give us a little brief synopsis of what that TEDx talk is? And you can look up Deborah Joy Hart at TEDx.
Yeah. Right. And basically, the first, you're right, it's a little synopsis on how to build up resilience now. We're all facing losses, a big loss right now with COVID and all those things, but even the little losses, like I lost my car keys, or, you know, where are my glasses, and they're sitting on your face. So the three P's that I talk about in any kind of loss is giving yourself permission to feel what you're feeling, not what other people are judging you that you should or should not be feeling, but permission to feel. The next one is about perspective. Is there a way that whatever the loss is, and that this doesn't happen right at the beginning of the trauma, but down the road, can you entertain what a perspective would be? A small loss would be, where are my glasses again? And then you realize, you start to worry, oh, my gosh, do I have some disease? You know, I can't find my glasses. And once you find your glasses, you go, well, they weren't in the refrigerator. That's good. And so that's a humorous perspective, using more of the absurd or exaggeration or minimization. And another perspective would be, as if you lost, if you were fired from a job or you don't have a job, especially now, a lot of people say, hey, at least I'm not as bad off. And that's how they create that perspective, as so-and-so. At least I'm not in the hospital. At least I don't have COVID. At least all my family is well. That's gaining some perspective. And lastly, which is way down the road in your grief process, but can you at some point have the power, the third P, to visualize? Can you visualize something different? I know for a while, it was a big death, divorce to me. I had to leave our church, and that was many, many years ago, and it took me a while. Could I imagine myself ever going back there? What would that feel like? Or can I imagine myself in another community where love and honesty would be happening? And so I'm not asking people who lost a spouse to imagine what would it be like to have another spouse. That's ludicrous. That doesn't happen for years, if ever. And so, but for many things, you can have the power to visualize something else and project it into the future. So permission, perspective, and the power to visualize are my main parts of my TEDx talk.
Oh, I love this so much. You know, we are on Christian radio, and I think that one of the things that we as a household of faith have is another type of a perspective. And I think it can be found in Corinthians 15:54, and it says, "So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" And then in 57 it says, "Thanks be to God who giveth us victory." So for some of us, we also have an eternal perspective that we can rely on,
yes,
to help us through the mourning period. And, you know, this eternal perspective isn't just found only among our religion. I think many,
right,
many people find it. I am really intrigued at your ability to teach us about embracing grief with humor and grace, because I'm reminded, and I kind of warn my listening audience that our family had a really, really difficult time, and I did too, with the death of a very special young man in our life, my oldest son's best friend. And he passed away at only 25 years old, and he passed away in my car unexpectedly, just had a seizure, and within minutes was gone. And someone who had lived in our house was our best friend, and someone that I guess we imagined would always be in our lives, left us so early. And so with COVID, we're seeing a lot of a multi-generational grief. I like that you mentioned that,
yeah,
it's not just death, because I think death is the big G that we're talking about, that the scriptures kind of bring up a little bit. But the scriptures also talk about a time to mourn. And so I would like you to give us a little perspective about how one can prepare any age group to see this transition from life to death and any other kind of grief. And I want to bring up to our listening audience that you have written an amazing book that my grandson, who's only 3 years old, loves, and that's Grandma's Bubbles. So if you could talk to us a little bit about that multi-generational grief, because we who are older, well, we kind of live through it. But when you're younger, what do we do?
You know, so early on, it would be wonderful if every person in the world was completely emotionally ready to talk about death at a moment's notice. In this Western world, they are not. Death and grief get sort of, they're ugly. It is ugly when people die, you know. People like to say it's beautiful and all that. It can be, but sometimes it's really ugly. And the feelings people have, they don't want to talk about it. To them, they're uncomfortable. So the very first thing I would say to improving, to embracing, to allowing our kids to grow up with death and dying as part of a sort of like what the scripture says, you know, learning about how there is a time, learning to embrace it so that you do have victory over death when you, according to religions, are uplifted into heaven, or how about just being able to face it so it doesn't knock you down? So once again, multi-generational, the sooner we can talk about and give experience to life and death in a calm, rational, loving, understanding manner to our children, that would be ideal. And until then, you do the best you can. You bring kids to funerals. You bring kids to, and you let them see and explore what, and let them ask questions. It, you know, too many times parents overshare with their children and give them too much information, and it's confusing. So explain different parts. Explain what the parts of a funeral are. In my particular book, I use a non-religious symbol. I use a bubble. And because if anybody out in our listening audience has ever blown any bubbles, one of the fascinations is not only do they float, but you sort of have control. It's like you breathe life into the bubble, right? Or the machine does. And you look at all the colors of a bubble. And what's interesting, as a bubble is about to burst, if you really study a bubble, it has all these colors. Then it gets a little grayer, a little thinner, and then it pops. In the book, you blow air into that bubble, and then sort of the immortality of it is that air comes out. Where does that air go? Where does that spirit go? Where does that love go? It goes back and it gets recycled into blowing other bubbles. And that's what Grandma Dee's Bubbles is about. It's about a comfort away to say that death is like a bubble and that parts of it is recyclable into immortality, as some religions would say.
Wonderful. I like that because we of course are looking at things from a spiritual perspective and from a religious perspective, but we also have to be able to explain things in clear and calm perspective, and that's a
right.
Nice one. Children need that, along with the comfort of knowing that God loves them and that there is something beyond the grave. But that's a beautiful analogy, and I also like the way you call it a juice, you know, bubble juice. That, you know, these are juices that are. I love it. My 3-year-old grandchild loves it, and we love you for creating something that children can embrace and understand. I personally, going back to that idea that as disciples of Christ, we've made a covenant with God to mourn with those who mourn. That doesn't mean that, you know, mourning is like, you know, going around with a long face and just saying, woe is me. You actually say that there is a time, as Ecclesiastes says, for a moment of humor. When do we know when grief is, you know, when do we know when grief is healthy and not healthy? When do we know when the timing for some of these things are right? Because one of the things of becoming a better person to help another is also to become informed. And that's what we're doing in this show. We are informing people about how to be a good friend through grief.
Well, you brought up two really great points, Deb. And a time to mourn, a time to, as the scripture saw, it's a season. So let me divide it into two categories here. First of all, healthy versus unhealthy. People tend to judge others if grief goes on for too long. And their version of unhealthy is really just judgment. It's not really discerning what is healthy and unhealthy. So I'm going to talk about healthy grief might not look pretty, Maybe if you've lost a husband, you might never sleep in that bed again, or you might not do it for years. You might always sleep on the couch. Other people will say, when are you going to move back to the bed? You know, it's still healthy if you don't want to get into bed. It's okay if you want to buy a new bed. People think that people who grieve their pets and they're just falling apart crying and they can't seem to not be sad, that there's something wrong because it's a pet versus a human being, because human beings should get that kind of treatment, not a pet. Well, once again, that's a judgment versus a discernment. And healthy would be still within normal limits if you lost a lot of weight, if you gained a lot of weight. Unhealthy would be if you stopped taking all your medicine, especially life-supporting medicine, such as heart pills, such as diabetic medicine, such as, you know, and some people even sleeping with a CPAP, that is very important for them because that prevents strokes and other types of sleep issues. If you stop sleeping with that, if you see the person is involved in risky behavior, such as, I think I'll bungee jump off my roof, you know, like I'm exaggerating, but that would be unhealthy. Even a person who says, I wish I was dead like my husband, you might have to explore that more. That would be unhealthy if that's all they ever talked about. And grief, depending on how it hits that person, might last for years. Grief, the waves and usual stuff, the usual ways of speaking about it is the waves of grief don't come, they sort of lessen, but they never go away. They will lessen. And the intensity of those waves will lessen over time. Will you always feel that hole in your heart? Yep, you will. And the main thing about grief is, can you integrate it into your spirit? You asked another question about when do you laugh? When is it okay to make a joke? Well, lots of times there's like forced humor because people hear, and it's true, humor, laughter stimulate the brain and make you feel better. However, when is it being forced and when is it coming up organically? I'm going to give this example to your listening audience. I had a friend that was diagnosed with cancer. Unfortunately, it got put on, you know how they put things online, before the doctor even told her. So she calls me up and I am just present. I am just listening. I am just being with her, and I'm not putting any of my agenda. It's all about her. The very next day, after the doctors apologized and talked to her and had an appointment and all this stuff, she said something, and it reminded me of a musical song, and I started singing that song. And she started laughing and laughing. And then I said, I am so glad I could make you laugh. And she said, how come you didn't make me laugh yesterday? And I said, yesterday was a time of listening. Today, you can have that release, and it can come out in the form of laughter. When do you laugh and joke? You got to know your audience. And you might try some things, and there's gentle humor. There's not like, I'm going to tell you a joke and you're going to laugh humor, or let's try a laughter exercise right after you've been diagnosed. That is not helpful. But it is helpful to have a shared experience after you've done some listening where there was humor or laughter involved and recall that experience with them so that in that very moment they can take a breath in and then go, ha, and they breathe in one more breath, if only for a moment, to be calmer and clearer. And that's forced versus organic humor. Did that answer your question? Okay, good. Good.
Yeah.
And
I love that. I love that. It's not forced.
Go ahead.
It's organic. It rises up, and that's straight out of Ecclesiastes as well. Because there's always there is a time to laugh. There is a time to dance, you know. There's a time to sew. There's a time to, you know, and then there's a time to speak and to keep silence. And, you know, one of the greatest gifts that we have as Christians who love one another, or as any human being of any religion who loves another human being, is the gift of listening to them with an open heart and a lack of judgment. And so I love that Ecclesiastes gives us a marvelous, marvelous way in which we can look at grief, including the spiritual side of humor, which you and I firmly believe exists, which I love about it. We believe humor can be for peace. So I love that. And I, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about, and we've talked about this before, you and I, is that we are blessed in most times, except for the time of COVID, it's been tough to have transition ceremonies, to have ways in which we can help go through the process of grief. I remind our listening audience that grief does not have to be, once again, with regard to death. It can be death of a dream. It can be death of a marriage. It can be death of a job, you know, losing your job. It can be, you know, just simply, we've got the American dream. We've got these people all over the world. We've got young people facing challenges, trying to see how to create peace. We've got a wonderful Youth for Peace movement going on. And we've got members of many, many different churches praying for this planet right now. And so, you know, grief can be so all-encompassing. It really just can, all of these principles can be applied to any kind of grief. But I'd like to hear a little bit your story about ceremonies. And I think you've got a really cute and funny story about ceremonies.
So in my TED Talk, sort of the jumping off point, is I talk about how I had yet another attack of diverticulitis. And I realized what the culprit was this time. It was popcorn. And which sounds, okay, so you'll never have popcorn again. But it's not the fact of never eating popcorn again. I was in the middle of CVS picking up my medicine for my diverticulitis. And right there in between the toothpaste and the socks and bras, I started to sob. And my husband said, "What is wrong?" And I said, "Oh, it's not that I can't have popcorn. It's that I'll never be able to share popcorn with the grandkids sitting on the couch watching movies or in a movie theater." I was devastated by not being able to do this simple act that I had done a gazillion times before that. And so my husband, wanting to cheer me up, said this: "Well, you love ceremonies. Why don't you just write one? In fact, you could write a cremation ceremony. You could take popcorn and throw it into the fire, and then you can have the last pop." And, you know, it sort of stunned me enough, just like I was talking about humor and grief, and I stopped crying, and I looked at him, and I took a breath, and I went, "Ha, that's funny." And I actually did that. I had some friends over, gave them all popcorn. I said a eulogy for popcorn. And I made myself a little tombstone that said, "Colonel A. Colonel, a life well popped." And so So while we're making light, and that's a more innocuous grief, I mean, no one died, I didn't lose a job, but I lost a future memory of sitting with the grandkids, right? In this time of COVID, the logistics alone to have a funeral, according to whatever religion it is, that is very difficult. Celebrate and to honor, that is very difficult. Very difficult. So, for example, it was the one-year anniversary of when my cousin completed suicide. And my aunt and uncle called and said, what do we do? Because traditionally, we would be at the cemetery unveiling the stone. And now you can't do that, not to have the people that we'd love to have. And I said, this is common. So I went online and I brought together the elements of a Jewish ceremony and things that people could do. And I rewrote it for them. I put it on the Facebook page, and there was some gentle humor in it because that would honor my cousin because he was funny. And we put it on Facebook, and people could do, they could light a candle. They could have a meal in honor of him. They could bless him. I even put the prayers in English and in Hebrew, you know, so that people could have that. People are having multimedia. Maybe they're at the funeral home, and lots of funeral homes are able to send out a Zoom link. Or you learn someone in the family is really good with technology, and you give this job to them. You ask them, can you please do this for, I'm just going to make this up, Uncle Harry, you know. Plus there's the grief and the everything else, how people cannot even be their loved ones when they die.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother grief and trauma. Then there's the trauma of you're not working because your business is going under. That's a whole nother grief. So what do? You go back to what I talked about in the very beginning. You give yourself permission to feel what you're feeling. Because when you try to shove those feelings down underneath and try to cover them up, I promise you they're going to come up in really weird ways that will affect your mind, your body, and your spirit.
And, you know, I want to address everything that you're saying to our listening audience, because I know there's somebody who's listening to us today that is hurting. Someone whose heart is broken, and someone who's feeling as if they just have no way to handle or understand why this grief is upon them. And, you know, we do have the message that this too shall pass. We also have the message that it's okay to feel what you're feeling, and we encourage you to look at these three P's, to look on Deborah's TED Talk, to look at the scriptures and see what wonderful guidance can be found in the scriptures, because in the scriptures there is life, and to look also at the right kind of people to reach out to. You know, one of the things that I think that we really have to struggle with is the understanding of the role of forgiveness and the role of gratitude in healing grief. And I know you're a firm believer in that.
Yes.
There's a lot of people holding on to a lot of resentment and anger. And how would you deal with someone that, you know, can't let go of the past and is having a hard time moving on towards the future?
You know, I think that's where some grace comes in. And so when people are that angry, it's sort of like the worst thing you can say to someone in the middle of, like, they're freaking out is, would you just calm down? I mean, it's sort of like that just makes things worse. Or, or can't you just forgive them? It's not like that. And I encourage people with that much anger to say, it's okay that you're angry. When it's unhealthy is when you keep hurting others with your anger. And sometimes it's time to talk to a counselor, a grief counselor, or your pastor, or someone else. I mean, when a child dies, and people say, oh, don't worry, you'll get pregnant again, or whatever, you diminish that person's grief in that moment. And they just need a safe place where they're not told anything. You're okay. It's okay. Once again, when they start hurting other people, then it's time to start reevaluating possibly an intervention or whatever. If that person has just a moment to breathe in and breathe out, they might say, God, I don't want this anymore. And in that moment, that's a prayer. In that moment, there can be grace in the religious sense that they are infilled with a moment of peace. A friend used to say to me, you're given a grace, and then you have to work back up to it.
Mm-hmm. So, yes. I love this. Because it goes right back to Kayla's beautiful song. You know, for those
yes.
of us who believe in Christ, you know, we believe that he knows us and he loves us. And if we could just surrender to him at that moment, there'll be a moment of grace. Deborah, I just can't thank you enough for this wonderful show we've had. I'm grateful that you've been on. I hope we can continue this conversation anymore as I, once again, another time. Because this is not enough. This is not enough. I want to end our beautiful show with Deborah Joy Hart with a statement, and it's not mine. I wish it was. It's by Reina I. Oberto, second counselor of the Relief Society of General Relief Society of our church, and this talk that I'm going to be quoting from. Is through clouds and sunshine, Lord, abide with me. And as I always say on this show, my prayer is that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart will be acceptable to God as we come to a close in this beautiful, beautiful time together. Deborah, this is what she says. He says, I testify to you that through cloud and sunshine, our afflictions can be swallowed up in the joy in Christ. And it is by grace, just as you were talking about, Deborah, that we are all saved after all we do. I testify that Jesus Christ will return to earth with healing in his wings. Ultimately, he shall wipe away all tears from your eyes, and there shall be no sorrow. For all who come unto Christ and be perfected in him, the sun shall no more go down, for the Lord shall be our everlasting light, and the days of mourning shall be ended. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Deborah?
Amen.
Thank you so much, Deborah. And thank you all for listening to the Deborah Norwood Show. You have been on the Deborah Norwood Show with Finding My Way with Kayla Padgett, CEO. We will see you soon in our next month's installment of the same show. And until then, we wish you much love, much humor, and much peace.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.